just a wonderful presence of God. And it's amazing the way that Holy Spirit inhabits this place. Even when no one's in here, I can come in here at any time throughout the week and still sense the presence of God. And that comes from just us being intentional to honor him, to steward his presence, and to give ourselves to times of prayer and expressions of worship. And I just want to give a brief disclaimer as I start, because I know where I'm standing in light of this camera and everything, so my forehead is not as shiny as it may appear. So I just want to let y'all know that. So don't get distracted as you watch the video and be like, man, his head is shining. We know. And so I'm going to share today I'm going to continue sharing what I started on Wednesday about hearing the voice of God. This is the year of hearing and obeying his voice. But what I believe as I prayed into this year and prayed into, you know, the word that Apostle delivered last week, as well as on New Year's Eve, I believe that it's a connection. You know, 2020 was the year of seeing and believing. This year, we're hearing and obeying. So in this year, I believe that God is going to continue to show us things that he began to show us in 2020. He's going to continue to talk to us and to show us things and to speak to us. And we have to posture ourselves to hear, as well as determine how we will respond to what he shows us and to what he tells us. And so we have to continue to believe as well as pursue the manifestation of what we see in here. We cannot let up. We can't say, well, it's a new year, it's a fresh start, I escaped 2020. We have to pursue the manifestation and not let up until it becomes our reality. I heard one person say recently that sometimes in the body of Christ, people are challenged believing for something longer than a couple of weeks or a couple of months. We know Abraham had to believe for some years. Now, while we believe in swift and immediate manifestation of the promise of God, we have to be open to how God wants to bring it to pass. And if it takes a period of time, recognizing that we are not behind, but we are in step with him. And that manifestation during that time, there's a process that he's doing in us so that as the promise manifests, we will be in a place to hear it, to receive it, and to maintain it. Sometimes when success happens too fast and things happen too quickly, then the person might not have the maturity level to sustain, maintain, and build upon it. And so that's not what God has for us, because he said that he called us to bear forth fruit and that the fruit should remain. And so I believe that as we are pressing into the manifestation of everything God has shown us, everything God is telling us, recognize that as you press into that, that God is calling you to be fruitful and that fruit should remain. Say amen to that. And so in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And so you will hear the Spirit of God giving you direction. He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to go. He will tell you, sometimes he may even direct you what to wear so that you can stick out to people who you need to minister to, speak a word to, or who need to minister to you and speak a word to you. And so don't feel strange if sometimes God may tell you a specific thing that he had never mentioned to you before, begins to talk to you about things he never talked to you before, because in this season, people are going to come into your world for you to speak to and for them to speak to you. But you have to be open. Romans 8 and 14 says this: for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice it says being led. Those who are led currently. And so as a son of God, meaning positioned in Christ, all of us are being led by Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we take detours because we make decisions that are, might not be in alignment, but Holy Spirit has a way to lead you and get you back into an alignment. Say amen to that. But I believe in this season, this is the time for perfect alignment. You never heard of Jesus in the scripture being going somewhere where he wasn't led. You never heard of Jesus going somewhere where it was a mistake. Now, if Holy Spirit led Jesus that way, don't you know he can lead us that way? Hallelujah. Because the same Spirit that was upon Jesus, in Jesus, raised him from the dead, is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so it says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, since Holy Spirit is in us, we can have confidence that we're being led right now. And this implies that there will be some people who are not led by the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't take a genius to see that, because you can look around and you see folks who are not led by Holy Spirit. You see people holding up stimulus because they wasn't led by Holy Spirit, because they had a personal against somebody. You see people doing things selfishly out of fear because they were not being led by Holy Spirit. And so there's going to be a clearer distinction between those who are led by God and those who are not. And so some are not sensitive to Holy Spirit. As sensitive as he desires, because he has been confused and dumbed down and looked upon as a feeling or an it. People have referred to Holy Spirit as an it, as a feeling. They have really reduced him in their perspective to a response somebody has given to the Holy Spirit. And so, like, when people would run around a church, they would say, I caught the Holy Ghost. Like Holy Spirit is a virus or something. You just catch them and you run. Or, you know, they see people fall out. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I fell out. And no, those were responses. Now, how people respond is how people respond. I've seen people run. I've seen people fall out. I've seen people laugh. Those are responses. But Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person that cannot be seen with the physical eye. He is the spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, the creator of everything. And so he is greater than the responses that we give. It normally looks a little wider on the computer than it does on that right there. Everybody's, for those who are watching online, they're signaling to me to stay in the camera. Thank you, though. Thank you, guys. I love y'all. And so John 16 and 13 says this: but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now, notice one, the tense of Holy Spirit is saying he. Okay, so we know he's not an it. And Jesus was speaking before Holy Spirit came into the earth. But we're in the time where Holy Spirit is here. Because he came, he made his entrance in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. It says he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. So Holy Spirit is hearing conversations of the Father and speaking them to us. Because it says, whatever, say whatever. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Holy Spirit is always speaking. He's always talking. He's always sharing. And we have to posture ourselves to hear, to hear him, and then to respond to what we hear. And so Abraham heard the voice of God when he was directed to leave his father and go to a place that he would be shown. Now, that takes a different kind of faith and a different kind of relationship. Because during that time, folks were worshiping all other kind of things that they called a god. Now, Abraham develops this relationship with the only true God. And then God says, leave your family. Leave the place where you are settled. Leave the place where you're making money. And leave everybody. And go to a place I'm going to show you later. And so you know he had to have confidence in what he heard to respond in obedience. Can you imagine? I know the scripture doesn't really give us the backdrop, but think about your family today. Think about your folks. If you say, hey, I'm moving. I'm packing up my stuff. I'm moving. And anything I can't get in this truck, I'm selling or giving away. And your family say, where are you going? I don't know. Wherever the Lord show me, he going to show me as I start driving. What do you think the response going to be from your family? They going to think something wrong with you. I remember when I was when I came to Christ, I accepted the Lord at the age of 17. And at that time, everybody in my immediate family circle believed something that wasn't scriptural. So when God spoke to me and started speaking to me, my family thought something was wrong. They were calling me. It was like, you're not being your true self. Something is off. Something is off. Let us come counsel you. I was like, no, I heard the voice of God for the first time in my life. And at that time, I heard him audibly. So I was like, oh, no. Mm-mm. I was like Paul. I could not be disobedient. So Abraham then heard the voice of God again in Genesis 15 when it says the word of the Lord came to him saying, and he gave him the promise of Isaac. So in that scripture, in that passage, during that conversation, it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to righteousness. So check this out. See that connection. He heard, but he had to believe. And then in that conversation, Holy Spirit, where God took him out and showed him the stars of the sky to give him a visual. So then he had to also see it. Now, during that time, they didn't have street lights and the city lights weren't lit up like that. And so, you know, it was clearer to see the stars to give him a visual. So then he believed. So then he heard God again later after he received the promise of his son. When God said, now go sacrificing. Now that was seen contradictory. You promised this one that I will have a son, that I will have descendants multiply like the stars of the sky. And now you're telling me to sacrifice him. Now, if Abraham's frame of reference of sacrifice was what those other beliefs used to do, where they actually was killing kids and offering them up. And so Abraham, that was his only point of reference. So he's thinking, well, I'm going to have to sacrifice him, but his faith was so because of his sensitivity and relationship. He told someone that me and the lad will go worship and we'll be back, meaning that I'm going to do this act of worship, and whatever God's going to do, something supernatural going to happen because we coming back. Because he held on to the promise that he heard, and he knew, look, this look is looking different than what I was promised. And I'm obeying this present word, but I still have this promise from what he said before. So now that's what, there's an Holy Spirit audible going on, but I don't know how it's going to work out. But as I go through this audible, I know what he promised will be fulfilled. So Abraham takes Isaac up and he's about to slice him up. He gets his knife and he's about to slice him up. And then he hears a voice that says, don't lay a hand on the child. Now some folks would have been like, I'm rebuke you, devil. God told me to sacrifice. The devil is a liar. But Abraham was so sensitive. He heard and was ready for the audible, the next word, the next piece of direction. And so he told me to sacrifice, but now he's saying don't lay a hand on him. So what's going on? Because there has to be an offering in this moment. And then he looks over and sees the ram stuck in a bush. And so and so now we see Abraham's sensitivity. And I just want to submit to you that there are times when God will say something to you and give you a blueprint or the playbook, because the old playbook is obsolete, where you will not have an example for it in the earth because it's coming directly from heaven. And you have to stay focused on what you hear and be ready to adjust the play as he calls it, because God is writing a new playbook with a new script. Because the old ones don't work, they didn't work, and that time had and season has passed. And so as we hear the voice of God, it shall always prompt a response. And we should be ready for audibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this: but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So as we are spending time with Holy Spirit and staying sensitive, we have to understand these things would not look like how natural things are normally done. Because we're looking at the things from a realm that is above the natural realm. We're looking at things through the eyes and the lens of the kingdom. And so we're going to see a greater contrast in this world and in our culture between those who don't know Holy Spirit, those who are not led by him, and those who are. Because those who are being led will go against a grain. And because of the apostolic grace that has been released, they will forge new paths for others to follow, but it will be different and contrary to what's going to the current way that's going. And it's different and contrary to the way people will go that don't know Holy Spirit. That's why I believe, as Apostle said, this wealth transfer, a lot of believers are being launched into entrepreneurship. And so you have to be careful who you allow to coach you, because some of those coaches are following a playbook that is not aligned with Holy Spirit, and he will be your coach. Because the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. And notice, and when a person is thinking and looking at things from a purely natural perspective, it hinders their ability to receive. And as long as a person remains in that place, they can't receive everything God has for them, which is why we have to spend more time with Jesus. We have to spend uninterrupted, focused time with Jesus. I believe that during the pandemic, we were able to see and able to really get back down to focusing on him. I believe this too. During this time, Apostle said there's a time of the gatherings, the gathering of the believer. But I believe these gatherings are going to have a different type of flavor and anointing, because everybody is refocused now on Jesus. It's not about who is singing what song. It's not about the playlist, the set list, or anything like that. It's just Jesus and Jesus alone. It's I'm just coming to give my worship to him because he's worthy. I'm coming to be in the fellowship of the saints, to strengthen one another, to love on each other, and we're going to worship God together. We're going to give an image in this place like it looks in heaven, because the same mirror, the way it looks in heaven, we're just going to be a reflection of that. And that's why we're coming. And when we come, there'll be signs, wonders, and miracles, because we're coming hungry. We don't have to pump people up to say, come on, come on, come on. Just get in the presence of God. Come on, come on, come on. Give him your worship. Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. It's time out for cheerleading. Because I cannot cheerlead you and focus on Jesus at the same time. You got to be ready to come. And when you come, you got to be ready to go some places in the Lord. Now, I can invite you, but that invitation is only going to be given one or two times. Because after that, I'm gone and you just, hey, you just going to be spectating. Because it's time out for reading about the power of God without experiencing it. I didn't come to Jesus because I wanted to read about the power of God and never experience it. So look at this. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I just want to highlight one thing to you. And in this, Paul was talking about people who think they're better than somebody else. Now, that doesn't apply to what I'm talking about now, but I want to point out this one key principle because it was kind of squoze in the middle of something. It says, squoze in. It says, for who considers you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? Everything in your life that you have, you didn't really earn it, even though people try to say you earned it. You received it. Everything you have, you got because you received it. You heard a word from God or got an unction from God, because sometimes he'll direct you by just an unction, or you might be like, something just don't feel right. However he led you to do something, to be somewhere, he positioned you to receive something. So everything in your life is about receiving. So you have to keep yourself in a place where you can receive by continuously looking at things from a kingdom perspective. Because right now we are dealing with the cancel culture, where in the cancel culture is about silencing voices that do not echo their opinion, their perspective, or their position. The spirit behind the cancel culture is a Jezebel spirit of control and manipulation. It is a spirit that's trying to control messages through false prophets and false narratives. Now, I'm not talking about people who prophesy a particular person in an election. I'm not talking about that, because you can miss it and not be a false prophet. You could also prophesy something you heard accurately and it go different and not be a false prophet. If you don't believe me, read the book of Jonah. He prophesied one thing and it happened totally different. And that was why he ain't want to go prophesy. Because he was like, God, you going to tell me to do this? They're going to respond. Then you ain't going to do it. And then they're going to think I'm a false prophet. And that's why he had to sit in the belly of the whale for him to recognize it wasn't about him. It was about saying what God told him to say, regardless of the outcome. And so you're going to have that same confidence that when you hear, you speak. Because it's not on you to determine the outcome. It's not on you to heal somebody when you declare be healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's Holy Spirit's part. Your part is to say the word that you have heard in authority and confidence. So this cancel culture tries to force people to agree with its agenda, to support its agenda, to conform or submit to its ways, or just be quiet. If they can't get you to conform or submit, they just don't want you to talk. And so right now we're dealing with that from social media and other places. The social media companies had to appear before a congressional hearing several months ago. I saw a brief clip of the Facebook CEO where he was like answering questions a couple times. He kind of got with him and I was like, yes, speak up for yourself. You run your business. They can't tell you how to run your business. You started it, not them. And then other times he was like, well, give us more direction. And I was like, uh-oh. And then now we see months later what's happening. We see, now I'm going to talk about one particular person without saying his name. Now, whether you like this person or not is not the point. It's the point is what's being done. There's a particular individual who's banned or restricted on every form of social media right now. He's not on Facebook. He's not on Twitter. Google banned or restricted him. Snapchat is restricted him. Instagram is restricted or banned it. Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, Reddit, Shopify, and Shoptify, which is like the music streaming. Now, when I saw that, I was like, dude, can't even listen to a playlist? Now, this person happens to be the current president. Now, here's the thing. Whether you like the president or not, whether you voted for him or not, whatever political party you think you are part of or not is not the issue. I'm a part of the kingdom. I care less about Democratic parties. I care less about Republicans. I care not Republicans, but the Republican Party. I care less about politics. I am for Jesus. I am for the kingdom of God. And I am for the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the thing with that. If they could do that to the current president, What do you think they could try to do to somebody else who speaks something different than what's not agreed with? Now, the president of the seat of the office of the United States, of the president, whoever sits in that seat, is often called the leader of the free world. So think about that. Other countries call the president, not this one, but every U.S. president, the leader of the free world. So if the leader of the free world, in a matter of a day, because all of this happened on Friday, 2 days ago, gets banned, account deactivated on every social media platform and a search engine. What do you think happens? And they say where you're inciting violence. What do you think they will say when you preach the uncompromising gospel? When you say homosexuality is not okay. And they're going to say, oh, you're not being tolerant. Right now, when on YouTube, there's two particular ministries that say, look, if Facebook takes us down and kick us off, here's our web address. We'll email you to where we're going to be. Why do they have to say that now? YouTube even put up a statement that said, if you mention the word fraud in correspondence to the election, they would take your video down. They said that's their policy after every election, which is a lie because they didn't do it 4 years ago. And so now there, I was watching this guy who's an independent reporter. He was saying fraud is the new F word. It's the word you can't say. So during his reporting, he kept saying F word instead of fraud. Now, how silly is that? Now, YouTube did say if you were doing a documentary or artistic expression, they wouldn't take it down. So I heard one preacher say, I'm going to just start singing the word fraud so they won't take my video down. So we see this thing of conformity. There's this app called Parler, which is another social media app which is based by your phone. This app says, I'm allow people to have their opinions. I'm not trying to police people's opinions. They have to be grown. They grown enough to say it, they can take their own consequence. My job ain't to regulate everything that gets posted. Now, because they took that position on Friday, Google banned them from their app store. And Congress people are encouraging Apple to do the same thing. So, what do you think happened during this congressional hearing that wasn't broadcasted now for them to all of a sudden participate in a cancel culture when now on YouTube you can see acts of violence like nothing before? There is a video of someone being murdered that's still on YouTube, but you can't express your opinion? It's out of order. And see, this conformity that they probably did, can't say for sure, but I could tell you the cancel culture wants you to conform. And that conformity is disguised as compromise. If you do this and give up this, you'll get this. It's the same playbook that Satan did with Jesus. Hey, I'm going to show you the kingdoms of the world. I know that's what you're here for. I give them to you if you worship me. Now, Jesus' response was to speak the word. And so when this culture tries to get you to shut up, your response has to be, I'm going to speak and stand on the word. Because when Jesus did that, we know the end of that story was he took the glory, he took the kingdoms of the world through the finished work of the cross. So when you refuse to compromise, what they're trying to offer you as the carrot, you will take anyway. In authority and in power. Say amen to that. Because Jesus spoke the word. And he said it is written. And through the victory of the cross. And submitting to the plan of God. And listening to the Father. He took what was trying to be offered to him anyway. And then some. Everything that belongs to you, you can have. So don't let somebody try to give you a nugget of it. To make you sit down or to make you be quiet. They tried that again with Israel when they were being delivered. Pharaoh was like, look, you can take the dudes, but leave the ladies. And then Moses said, no, we're not leaving a hoof from one of these animals. We taking everything. So you have to be determined that in 2021, everything that belongs to me, I'm laying hold of it because it's been given to me. It's my covenant right. I'm not going to back up. I'm going to stay in faith, and I won't stop declaring what the Lord has said. Because when Jesus speaking a word was a model for us to speak faith-filled words and faith-filled words only. I had somebody get mad at me the other day because I said, look, don't come to me with that. I need you to speak this. And if you're not going to speak this, I'll holler at you when I'm done walking out the victory in this situation. Because everybody ain't ready to fight with you in the spiritual battle. And so some folks are going to have to clap with you when you celebrate. But while you in there they ain't ready, so I'm not even going to involve you because you ain't ready. Because this is not the time for chump, spineless believers. And I'm not calling anybody a chump. I'm just telling you what the season is. The season is for those who are bold as a lion. That's why the scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Faith-filled words are words that are spoken in line with the word of God. If it's not in line with the word of God, don't say it. Or words spoken directly from the word of God. They are positive words spoken with the expectation and anticipation that allows room for God to move as he wills. Hallelujah. Glory. It allows room for him to move as he wills. They are words that ring with confidence that God is able to work in any situation, regardless of its seeming complexity, appearance, or predicted outcome. There is a gap between what you have now and what a prediction is, and that gap in time is called opportunity for supernatural intervention. I don't care what people are predicting, there's always opportunity for supernatural intervention. So you have to stand on the word and keep doing what you hear him tell you to do. And if you didn't hear any more instructions, you stand on the previous ones. Hallelujah. Faith-filled words are words of hope, joy, peace, love, blessing, and life. And you have to mix those words with faith. You have to mix what you hear with faith, which is why Israel, that first generation couldn't enter in. It says they heard the word but didn't mix it with faith. And how does faith come? Romans 10:17. And I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing. Now, I like that in the King James because of the word cometh. Nobody's saying, talking that way, saying cometh now. I cometh to the store or cometh here. But when you see ETH in the King James translation, it denotes a continual action. So faith continuously comes by hearing. By hearing. That word hearing is not just hearing with your ears, it's talking about experience. So faith is continually come through your experience of hearing God and obeying God. You see it, you believe it, you hear it, you obey it. And that hearing comes by the word, not just studying the word, not just listening to the preached word, but the word you hear him speak to you directly. When the living word speaks to you through to your spirit, and like was prophesied, surpasses your brain, but speaks directly to your spirit, it deposits faith. And that happens through those intimate times and those gatherings and encounters with the Lord. This is why Sunday morning prayer is so important, but that's why you gotta pray more than on Sunday mornings. Hallelujah. Now I'm gonna tell you that I told you all of that about the cancel culture and all of that other stuff to tell you this. God will use you to echo his voice in the earth to those who cannot hear him through the noise, the false narratives, and the bombardment of contrary messages. It is not like, oh, I'm going to bless my people and that's it. God loves everybody because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And because he loves everybody, He says, I have people who I selected to be alive in this generation that will hear his voice, respond in obedience, and be the echo of the voice of God during a time when folks need to hear him the most. That's like when Israel was about to go out to war in 1 Kings chapter 22. And the king at that time was asking Jehoshaphat, hey, you gonna come with me? These dudes trying to fight me. Basically, they trying to come to war. They trying to destroy us. Hey, you gonna come help? Jehoshaphat was like, yeah, I come help. He said, but first, let's hear from God. Jehoshaphat had the sensitivity to know I'm not doing nothing without seeking God. Even stuff that seemed like a no-brainer, I'm still going to ask Holy Spirit. I'm still going to get a check, because he may say yes one day, but the next time that same thing come around, he might be like, nah, we cool. And so Jehoshaphat, all these people came and prophesied. But Jehoshaphat was so sensitive, he said this in 1 Kings 22, verse 7. He said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? During this time, be sensitive to when people speak, to know when it's from God and when it ain't. I know I should have said is not, but I'm telling you ain't, because there's some stuff on that. When it ain't, because you have to be so in tune with the voice of God that you have to recognize when people are speaking from him and when it's not coming from him. And what I shared Wednesday was it could even come from the same person. Peter one minute said Jesus was the Christ or the Son of God. He had revelation. But then the next minute he said, no, Lord, you will never be crucified. Far be it from you. And Jesus was like, get thee behind me. Glory to God. And so I'm going to leave you with this question, because people are looking for truth. And you know the truth because it sets you free. His word is true. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So this question is, will you posture yourself to hear? And will you obey what you hear? Will you say what he tells you to say? And will you do what he's telling you to do right now in this season? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you.